All right, Sunday morning, 3:27:22. This is Learning to Flow in the Supernatural. The title is Promotion Comes from God. Psalm 75, 6, and 7. For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one, and he setteth up another. And the Lord said to me, never pray to sway. Never pray to sway. Yeah, I'm going to explain to you what I'm talking about here. This is manipulation and witchcraft. Okay. In other words, we're not looking at a person, a place, or a thing for promotion. Now, I can give you an example. What the Lord spoke to us 23 years ago, it'd be real easy to look to that place and that person for a promotion. But it will not come that way. Promotion comes from God. And that focus is on God and His plan and His will. And as intercessors, we need to pray that way. Remember I told you, and we're going to read the scripture that we've been reading concerning intercessors. Because we're not here to manipulate. We are here to pray the perfect will of God concerning the situation. That's why whatever, even if God tells you something about yourself, you need to say, okay, Lord, what do you mean by that? And what do you want me to do about that? Instead of just jumping off and just doing something, and it may not be the answer. Never pray to sway. In other words, we're not looking, all right, I already read that to you. We must always look to the Lord, for He is the promoter. Most sad to say, look around for the redemption instead of up or within. They're looking around here for a way to get their whatever they need. This is what causes us to get in the flesh. And this is what I believe probably causes delays, if you really want to get honest about it. If God has said to you something that includes another person, we must still look to God, not the person. It is between that person and God, not you and that person. If that person never does what they're supposed to do, it is not between you and the person. It is between God and that person. Our promotion comes from God, and He said it, and He will do it. Keep your eyes off of man and onto God. That is very important. The Lord stressed to me, very important. Don't focus on out there. Focus on up here or in here. That's more appropriate, in here. Remember David and Saul. This is a perfect example of this very thing. And we're going to read about them this morning. All right, 1 Samuel 15. I mean, from what we learned, it looked obvious as how it was going to happen. But after 23 years, it hasn't. So we better be looking at the right place. Because man may obey, they may not. Yeah. All right, 1 Samuel 15:1. And Samuel said unto Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. By the way, many years ago the Lord spoke to Danny about go learn about David and Saul. Now go and smite Amalek, and it'll destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together, numbered them in Telaim, and 200,000 footmen, and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to a city of Amalek, and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For he showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until they come to Shur, that is over against Egypt. He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen, of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse that they destroyed utterly. And then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose up early in the morning, early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. And Samuel said unto Saul, Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? What did the Lord tell him to do? Kill everything. And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. Okay, now turn to chapter 16 here, verse 1. The Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among his sons. And Samuel said, How can I go? If Saul hear it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, Take a heifer with thee, and say, I am come to sacrifice to the Lord. And call Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show thee what thou shalt do. And thou shalt anoint with me him whom I name unto thee. And Samuel did that which the Lord spake, and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the town trembled at his coming, and said, Comest thou peaceably? And he said, Peaceably, I'm come to sacrifice unto the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and called them to the sacrifice. And it came to pass when they were come that he looked on Eliab and said, Surely the Lord's anointing is before him. But the Lord said unto Samuel, Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, Neither hath the Lord chosen this. Again Jesse made seven of his sons to pass before Samuel, and Samuel said unto Jesse, The Lord hath not chosen these. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Are here all thy children? And he said, There remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, Send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal, of a beautiful countenance and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, Arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. But looky here. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. What did it cause Saul to do? He just got harder and more wicked, more evil than before. Okay, even though David was anointed as king, it was a space of many years before he was actually crowned, about 13 from what I understand. Saul chased him and tried to kill him, but David never said once said he was the anointed king, but honored Saul. He would not speak evil of him. He considered Saul God's anointed. He was king over Judah for a while, only one tribe. Okay, this is 2 Samuel 1. He did not try to implement himself or pray Saul out of office. Understand? We don't need to do that to our leaders either. 2 Samuel 1, 2. So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite. Am I in the right? Nope. Chapter 1, sorry. 2 Samuel 1. Came to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent and earth upon his head. So it was when he came to David that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, from whence comest thou? He said unto him, out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. And David said unto him, how went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. And he answered, that the people are fled from the battle, and many of the people also are fallen and dead. Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. All right. Now, 2 Samuel 3, 1. Now, there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. It wasn't just, well, Saul's dead, now I'm king. No, that's not what happened. Let's keep going here. 2 Samuel 5. Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron and spake, saying, behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, thou wast he that leadest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So the elders of Israel came to the king, to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord and the anointed king David, king over Israel. He was 30 years old when he began to reign over Israel. So we see here a progression of things where David, he kept just going about his business. He did not come against Saul. He did not try to usurp his authority. He did not try to push it. He waited until they came to him. They came to him and raised him up. Same way with when he went over Judah. Very same thing. He did not try to push it. He did not badmouth Saul. He did not pray that God would take Saul out of office. All right. He didn't seek vengeance. He could have killed Saul on a couple occasions, but he didn't do it. He still looked at him as God's anointed. Okay. All right. I've said all that to say this. As intercessors, we are commissioned to pray in the Spirit. All right. Romans 8. I hear a lot of Christians praying against leaders, praying against this, praying against that. We're here to pray for things, okay? Pray for things, not against things. Now, we want evil to come down, and I know that I believe there's an appropriate way to do that. But we're not targeting people here. We're not praying to sway, okay? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's why when the Lord told Danny to pray an army of intercessors, but also we are to pray that there are intercessors that know their places and do not get out of their places. Okay. Our goal is to pray God's will. We let the people involved be up to him. He's the promoter. He raises one up and pulls another down. Okay? David was very careful not to say anything against Saul. He let God deal with Saul and dethrone Saul. And he let place David on the throne. It was all God's doing. It was all by God, not by anything that David did. All right. We're instructed to pray for our leaders, natural and spiritual. This is 2 Timothy 1. First Timothy 2. I got it all messed up. 1 Timothy 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving thanks be made for all men. You mean just the good ones, right? No, it says all. For kings and for all that are in authority, that women lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We need to be praying that they'd come to know the Lord. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Because see, we're not the judge. Whenever we're pronouncing judgment on them, when we're praying and saying, you know, we pray against this wicked leader and all that, we're passing judgment. We don't stand in that place. We have no right. God is the judge. He pulls down one. He raises up another. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to knowledge of the truth. He has us praying for them because he doesn't want them to die and go to hell. Right? What side are we on? The side of right or the side of wrong? He doesn't need us praying evil or wicked. He doesn't need us venting our prayers in a wrong way. This could be why we've not seen more than we wanted to see. Honest about it, all of them. Some of them I can't even stand to look at, but I don't want to see them burn in hell. I don't want to see them burn in hell. I know what they've done, horrible things, but I'm not the judge. I said, Lord, they may have to be executed here in this earth, but I said, they don't have to go to a devil's hell on top of it. What spirit are we of? He wants, it's his will. We'd have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. This is God's will in our prayer. This is the purpose for praying this prayer. For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He's our only hope, the only hope for any of us, who gave himself a ransom for all, even the bad ones, even the pedophiles. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I'm ordained a preacher and apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. We can't get the wrong spirit in our praying. Well, you're evil, so you have to be condemned and judged. That's not our call. We don't get that place. Okay. Let not their downfall be by our words and prayers, except in a general way. Just like David would not say anything evil against Saul. He'd say, Saul would try to kill him. He'd say, the anointed of the Lord. Think about it. Now you see why God chose him to be king over Israel. He was a shepherd. He cared for the sheep. Okay. This prayer we've been praying, and I believe this is okay. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that all willful workers of wickedness be removed from positions of power, prominence, and prestige. Open the eyes of those being deceived and place people who stand for your righteous cause in the high places of government influence. Let us stay in the love and the love side of things. Our leaders, like them or not, good or not, is not ours to say, but ours to pray. I do realize that God may require us from time to time to speak to situations where it calls a leader by name, and that is okay, but we need to follow the Spirit in this. I want to read to you something by C. Peter Wagner from the book Prayer Shield, just how powerful intercessors are. Leaders do receive intercession. I would not want to give the impression that because personal intercessors for leaders may be underutilized, it is not utilized at all, or it is not utilized at all. When I first researched this book, I wrote a letter to 35 celebrity leaders whose names were household words in the American evangelical community, and I was pleasantly surprised to find that 28 of them could name individuals who prayed for them on a regular basis. Now, we're talking about church leaders here. This includes in what we just read, not just political leaders. At least 19 of those would have been I-1 intercessors, according to the definition I'm using. This came out to be 54%, much higher than I might have guessed, possibly because of the select list of leaders to whom I wrote. I would like to think that this helps verify the point I'm trying to get across. Could it be that one of the reasons God was able to entrust these individuals with high positions of high visibility and influence was that they were actively depending on personal prayer partners? You bet you. I believe that. A couple of interesting facts emerged from the survey. One was that the age of the intercessors seemed disproportionately high. A large number were in their 60s or above. Which might this be? Why might this be? Perhaps a combination of Christian maturity and retirement from vocational careers increases the eligibility and availability of many for serious intercession. There may be different reasons as well. The other fact was that about one half of those who could name their intercessors named family members such as spouses or parents or grandparents or grown children. I'm not advocating that this pattern is ideal. I'm simply reporting. Although James Dobson did not happen to be on my list, I learned a lot about him through his biography, Dr. Dobson, Turning Hearts Toward Home, in which author Ruth Zutterston reveals that Dobson depends greatly on personal prayer partners, two of whom he mentions. One is Dobson's wife, Shirley, who says that when they almost lost their children four times during a 6-month period, she came under a great burden of prayer. Recognizing this as an attack of Satan, she says, "To counteract this, I bathe our children and Jim in prayer. I spend one day a week fasting and praying for them." Dobson's other partner prayer was Noble Hathaway, a widower and a personal friend of Dobson's parents. Hathaway said, "I have committed my remaining days to continue the ministry of prayer that Dr. Dobson's parents started. I have a one-man prayer meeting for Jim, Shirley, Dana, and Ryan. I'm committed to bombarding the skies with prayers for the Dobsons." Reinhard Bonnke, one of our generation's foremost crusade evangelists, has a ministry akin to that of the Apostle Paul. Like Paul did, he depends heavily on intercession. At one point in time, Suzette Hatna, with whom I had privilege of working during the 1990s prayer movement, not only served as Bonnke's I-1 intercessor, but also mobilized massive prayer for each crusade. Before Bonnke preached, Suzette would have gathered literally thousands in a given city, instructing and releasing them for true intercession. Bonnke sees it this way: it is not a case of singing choruses and praying for a blessing, but of pulling down the strongholds of Satan. Intercessors are a mighty battering ram. So I want to encourage y'all with that. And I thought that was interesting about people that are older, no longer have to punch the clock. They can be easily accessible to do God's will, praying with intercession, okay? We should always have the mindset to pray for things and not against them. If we do this, then we will keep our heart right before God. You know, love never fails. When you're praying for a wicked leader, God, help him to know you. Pray for him, Lord. Pray for his family. Help him where he's struggling. There's so much nastiness out there, even from the conservatives. If we do this, then we will keep our hearts right before God. I hope you can see just how important your intercessory role is to the body of Christ. Okay.